from Mississippi State. Well, good morning, and let's open in prayer and jump in. I'm so happy you're here this morning. What a great room of people. I love the fall because in the fall we're so ready for structure, and it just feels like everybody, their attendance is good. And then I want us to keep it up because when January hits, that's when it's hard, right? But hasn't the weather been beautiful? It makes us want to get out. So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing of the beauty of the season and for the blessing of friendships with one another, for the fellowship of the body of Christ that is in this place, in this church, in Brookhaven. And Father, we say to you this morning, we long to be the Sunday school class that cares, the Sunday school class that loves, the Sunday school class that gives, that grows together. And Father, our hearts this morning before you are, we want to be women on mission who are living for you in our generation. We want to be women who are growing in Christ's likeness. And so we thank you for our study this morning. We thank you for every home represented in this room, for all the children and all the grandchildren that are represented in every family. We just ask you to make us to be wise women. And Father, speak to us this morning very personally, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are studying this book in Sunday school called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And I think we're on either week 5 or week 6, but I've lost count. And last week, we took a break from our book, and I gave you a new book, but I hate to tell you, I'm out of those books. I ordered 60. Does anyone have one with them that you can hold up and just show everybody? Here's one right here. It's called Praying the Bible by Don Whitney. He's the same author of our book here. And you can get it on Amazon. It'll be there in 2 days. So if you didn't get it, just order it on Amazon. Now, it's going to cost a little more on Amazon, and I'm sorry, but we give discount prices here. So. The early bird gets the worm, right? That's right. So let's start this morning by looking on our handout. And, oh, goodness, I've got to find a sheet. Hang on. I just remembered I added something to my lesson, and there it is. Let's look at our theme verse for our study. It comes out of 1 Timothy 4:7, and you've memorized it, right? It says, it's so simple, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Now, one of the greatest encouragements of the Bible is that we can grow. We start in our faith. We have a starting point. But from there, you know, we've got a long way to go, right? And so we begin to grow in regards to our faith. Think about your own spiritual pilgrimage. Do you see growth? As you look back, can you see that, you know, you're not what you were? You're not what you should be altogether, but thank God, you've grown. You've made progress. And so we've been studying the fact that if we want to be like Christ, we're going to have to discipline ourselves. Yes, salvation is a free gift, but growth comes. We've got to add our muscle. We've got to become disciplined. We've got to be living our lives intentionally in order to grow, and that's what we've been talking about. Exactly what is it that will cause me to grow? And so we spent several weeks looking at our first discipline, which was Bible intake, and that is the most important discipline. The second one we looked at was prayer. Those two are the most important. I'm spending more time on those. I think I spent 3 or 4 weeks on Bible intake, and now I'm spending, this is my third week, on prayer. because those two are the key disciplines. I think they stand out among all of the others, and I'll probably be going fast through the rest of the book, but I don't want to rush through these two. Now, what did Bible intake involve? Five things. Do you remember? Level one was what? Hearing the word. That's just the most basic level, hearing the word. Then you went from hearing to what? Reading the word. You know what? You come to church, you hear the word. You hear it taught, you hear it preached, and you hear it other ways during the week, possibly. That's level one, but then you get your Bibles out, and you know what? You start reading for yourself. That's second level. Then comes another level, which is it takes you deeper. What is it? It's Bible study. So I'm going to hear it, I'm going to read it, I'm going to study it, and then two more. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to take particular specific verses, and I'm going to commit to memorizing those verses. And then lastly, meditation. Meditation. And so I love this concept of meditation, and that's kind of where we're going to be this morning as we talk. Now, we said that the first discipline is connected to the second discipline, and it's prayer. And we've been talking about this spiritual discipline of prayer for 2 weeks, and we're coming back to it because it's so important. And I think I speak for everyone in this room. I know for myself, I want to be a prayer warrior. Now, is that a yes in your heart? Do you really want to be a prayer warrior? Well, go back to the statement that I've got on your handout there, that the discipline of prayer, Bible intake, and prayer are very closely connected. Now, let's do a little bit of review as to what we've seen about prayer so far, because many of you haven't been in all three of our lessons. But let's just put some facts down as we start. And one of the greatest encouragement to prayer is the fact that God promises in His Word to answer prayer. All right, that's something I want to think about. God states in His Word, I will hear you, I will answer you. Now that gives me kind of an incentive to really want to pray. That encourages my heart. Here's another thing to write down. God expects Christians to be devoted to prayer. Now I want to show you this command in the Bible. It comes in Colossians, one place, several places, but it says it so clearly there, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. And then I want to say this, it's more than just a command that's given and up to us in the Bible. It is a royal invitation. It's not something that is a have to do. No, I mean the God of the universe, the all-powerful living God, is giving you an invitation to come and to pray. And I left one verse out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, another command to pray, where Paul says pray without ceasing. But I want you to really look, as you're thinking about prayer as a royal invitation, look at Hebrews there on your handout, and look at that verse out of Hebrews with me that says, let us then with confidence, because God has promised, I will hear you, I will answer you. Okay, so then let us then have confidence and draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. That is a wonderful invitation. Are you needy? Does your family have needs? Well, you know, he says draw near. Draw near with confidence. You can come here and find grace and mercy that will help you in a time of need. We're living in very, very needy, needy days, aren't we? We really are. And so this lesson today, it's just kind of a wrap-up of some things. And in our book, there are some wonderful quotes. There are some wonderful testimonies. And I want us just to close our time on prayer by not rushing through. I want you to be encouraged this morning. Now, let's write this on our handout. We said Bible intake is closely connected to prayer. But here's what I want you to see. Specifically, meditation is the key that's going to lead to a satisfying and meaningful prayer life. Meditation. These two go together. For example, look at Psalm 5:1. Here is David, and David prays, "Oh God, oh Lord, give ear to my words. Consider my meditation. Take the meditation of my heart, oh God." I mean, to hear my heart as I'm thinking in my heart, and I'm making that my prayer. Hear my meditation. Psalm 19:14, David says this, "Let the words of my mouth," this is such a familiar verse, "let the words of my mouth," and don't miss it, "let the words of my mouth and," what? "The meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you're my rock, you're my redeemer." Both of those verses are praying, are prayers to God from David. And in each case, as David is meditating on the truth of God, it becomes the catalyst for his praying. Now, let me share again how this process works as we've been talking about it in the last 2 weeks. It all begins with a desire. I'll put this just sort of in a little formula on your handout. The Holy Spirit has moved into my heart. I've been born again. He brought his holy desires with him when he moved in. You know, I don't have to drum up a desire to pray. It's there. I've got the desire to pray because the Spirit is living in me. My problem is disciplining myself for the purpose of prayer. That's where my problem is. I let life crowd out my prayer time. I don't get intentional enough, but I want to. I really do. That holy desire is there. I don't have to make that desire be there. I think about it all the time. Don't you? So it starts with the desires that the Holy Spirit has put into my heart. And then, as I go from desire, because I want to grow in Christ-likeness, I realize I've got to discipline myself first. And first, I have to get in God's Word. That's a part of it. I've got to get it into my heart. And so, because I want to be like Christ, then comes discipline. It starts with desire, then it moves to discipline. I'm disciplining myself to hear the Word, to read the Word, to study the Word, to memorize the Word, to meditate on God's Word. Now, last week I introduced to you this Psalms a Day method that takes the Psalms that were written specifically to give us the words that we can use in our praying with God. And so in the morning, after I've spent time in God's Word, I'm thinking about God's Word, I'm meditating on God's Word, then I move into my method of the Psalms a Day. And there are 5 Psalms. I'm going to choose one of those Psalms. And then I'm going to take that Psalm as a catalyst for my prayer time. Teresa, do you just use the Psalms? No, you can pray any part of the Bible. But I'm encouraging you as a Sunday school class, let's start together in the book of Psalms, since that book is written specifically to give us the words to give to God. And so I'm going to choose a psalm, and I'm going to start reading that psalm slowly, verse by verse. I'm going to meditate on that psalm. And so I'm going to start with desire. I'm going to go to discipline, and that's going to lead to meditation on the Word of God. I'm going to take what God is saying through that psalm, I'm going to digest it, think on it, and then I'm going to let it give me the words that form meaningful prayer. Desire, discipline, meditation, prayer. Now, you don't have to do this, but what I like to do is journal as I'm reading. That helps me keep my mind from wandering, and I kind of jot down what God is saying to me. I write down who I'm praying for, because I'm letting God's word give me, it's leading me in my time of prayer. And not only am I not praying the same old things about the same old things, I now have a new and fresh way to say different things to God in prayer. And I have confidence as I'm praying because my words are God's words. They're thoughts that come to me from His word. So instead of thinking, okay, I've got to have my prayer time, I've got to have my Bible time, I put them together and I naturally transition from reading my Bible into prayer. And prayer becomes more like a real conversation with a real person, which is exactly what prayer actually is. Because as I'm in God's Word, He meets me there. I'm reading His very words. This is His Word to us. And He's speaking to me through His Word. And after I'm meditating on it, then I pause and I speak to Him back from His Word. He talks. I listen. I talk, He listens. It's just like a real conversation. And as I'm doing it, I'm letting the Word of God be my guide. Now let me pull out a quote from a Puritan pastor and a Bible commentator that I bet you've heard of. His name is Matthew Henry. Do y'all remember the Matthew Henry series commentators? Every Bible teacher has a set. And Matthew Henry had a remark about Psalm 19:14, which we looked at earlier in our lesson. I want you to listen to what he said, and I put his quote on our handout. He said, David's prayers were not his words only, but his meditations. As meditation is the best preparation for prayer, so prayer is the best issue of meditation, because meditation and prayer go together. And that's just what we're saying. It feels to me like the Puritans really got it. The Puritans were a time in history when the church was really, really growing. And we can learn a lot from the Puritan writers. Let's look at another Puritan writer. His name was Thomas Manton, and you may have heard of him too. This is what he said. He said, meditation is a middle sort of duty between the word and prayer, and hath respect to both the word feeds meditation and meditation feeds prayer. These duties must always go hand in hand. Meditation must follow hearing and precede prayer. To hear and not to meditate is unfruitful. We may hear and hear, but it is like putting a thing into a bag with holes. It is rashness to pray and not meditate. What we take in by the word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. These three duties must be ordered that one may not jostle out the other. Men are barren, dry, and sapless in their prayers for want of exercising themselves in holy thoughts. Another Puritan writer, William Bridge. This is what he says. As meditation is the sister of reading, so it is the mother of prayer. Now, I like that. Meditation is the sister of reading, and it is the mother of prayer. Though a man's heart be much indisposed to prayer, yet, if he can but fall into a meditation of God and the things of God, his heart will soon come off to prayer. Begin with reading or hearing, go on with meditation, and end in prayer. Reading without meditation is unfruitful. Meditation without reading is hurtful. To meditate and to read without prayer upon both is without blessing. And so what I want you to see is that it just all blends together. I've mentioned him many times in my Sunday school lessons, a man named George Mueller. How many of you have heard of George Mueller? George Mueller was an amazing prayer warrior. And so as we're studying prayer, we can learn from other people. You know, we can learn by praying with people. We can learn by reading books about prayer. We can learn about actually, you know, just praying and asking God to teach us. There's so much we can learn about prayer. Let's go to George Mueller. Let me just read to you the testimony out of our book. Where did I put my glasses? There they are. I had a heart attack. I thought, where's my glasses? No way I can read this tiny little print. Listen as I read his testimony. It was too long for me to put on your handout, but if you have the book, it's in your book. In the spring of 1841, George Mueller made a discovery regarding the relationship between meditation and prayer that transformed his spiritual life. Now, let me say this about George Mueller. He was a pastor, and he wanted his church to grow in faith. He was very burdened by the fact that his church was not growing in regards to faith. And so he began, their church had many, many ministries, and they started an orphanage because this time in London, the need was so great. There were so many children on the streets. And so their church started an orphanage, and he determined in his heart he would take no money whatsoever from anybody. He determined he would not let his needs be known. He wanted this orphanage to be run totally by prayer. And he would only tell God the needs of the orphanage. And then every Sunday he would post his answered prayers. And that was growing his church to believe and to have more faith. He was an amazing man. His biography is incredible. So he would get up to pray, but he was just like you and me. He would struggle. Now, sometimes he would get up at 4 in the morning. He got up really early for the purpose of prayer because he was busy. He had things to do. He was running an orphanage. He was doing all kinds of things. Let me look here and see if I have some numbers. During the last two-thirds of the 19th century, he operated this orphanage. He ran it solely on prayer. He never advertised his needs. He never went into debt. And in that one manner, by prayer alone, he fed, clothed, housed, and educated more than 10,000 orphans, as many as 2,000 at one time. At the same time, he supported mission work around the world with his church. Hundreds of millions of dollars in today's value came through his hands without ever asking for a penny. His thousands of recorded answers to prayer are legendary. What was his secret? And so let's read. Before this time, he says, he's giving us his new secret that he learned. Before this time, before I learned this secret, at least for 10 years previously, as a habitual thing to give myself to prayer after having dressed in the morning. Now, I saw that the most important thing was to give myself first to the reading of God's Word and to meditation on it. And thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed. And that thus, by means the Word of God, whilst meditating on it, my heart might be brought into experiential communion with the Lord. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words of the Lord's blessing upon His precious Word, was to begin to meditate on the Word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it. Not for the sake of the public ministry of the Word, not for the sake of my preaching on what I had meditated upon, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. The result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after a few minutes my soul has been led to confession or to thanksgiving or to intercession or to supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but I had given myself to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less to prayer. When thus I have been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication or have given thanks, I go on to the next words or verse, turning all as I go on into prayer for myself and for others, as the word may lead me to do, but still continually keeping before me that food for my own soul was the very object of my meditation. The result of this is that there is always a good deal of confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and intercession mingled with my meditation, and that my inner man almost invariably is even sensibly nourished and strengthened, and that by breakfast time, with rare exceptions, I am in a peaceful, if not happy, state of heart. The difference, then, between my former practice and my present one is this. Formerly, when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible, and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, or almost all the time. At all events, I almost invariably began with prayer, but what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour or a half an hour or even an hour on my knees before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of soul, etc. And often after having suffered much from wandering of mind for the first 10 minutes, does that happen to you when you try to pray? Or a quarter of an hour or even half an hour, only then really began to pray. But now I scarcely ever suffer in this way. For my heart, being nourished by truth, being brought into experiential fellowship with God, I speak to my Father and to my friend, vile though as I am, and unworthy of it, about the things that He has brought before me in His precious Word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this point. And yet now, since God has taught me this point, it is as plain to me as anything that the first thing the child of God has to do, morning by morning, is to obtain food for his inner man. Now, what is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds just as water passes through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over what we read, meditating over what we read. And then when we pray, we speak to God. Now prayer, in order to be continued for any length of time, in any other than a formal manner, requires, generally speaking, a measure of strength or godly desire. And the season, therefore, when this exercise of the soul can be most effectually performed, is after the inner man has been nourished by meditation on the Word of God, where we find our Father speaking to us to encourage us, to comfort us, to instruct us, to humble us, to reprove us. We may therefore profitably meditate with God's blessing, though we are ever so weak spiritually. Nay, the weaker we are, the more we need meditation for the strengthening of our inner man. Thus, there is far less to be feared from wandering of mind than if we give ourselves to prayer without having had time previously for meditation. I dwell so particularly to this point because of the immense spiritual profit and refreshment I am conscious of having derived from it myself. And I affectionately and solemnly beseech all my fellow believers to ponder this matter. By the blessing of God, I ascribe to this mode the help and strength which I have had from God to pass in peace through deeper trials in various ways than I have ever had before. And having now above 14 years tried this way, I can most fully, in the fear of God, commend it. Now, I just love that. I had to read it. Because I get encouraged when I go to the Word of God, when I go to the lives of strong Christians, and I hear their testimony. Now, I have a testimony this morning that I want to share. It's a personal testimony about prayer and our church. Because I remember a hard time in our church right after our pastor, Brother Bob, left our church. And right as Brother Greg was coming as our new pastor to our church, we just went through a very difficult season. Some of you remember this. You were here. It was transition time between pastors can be a very hard time in churches. It's hard to be without a pastor, for one thing, right? I don't remember exactly how long we were without a pastor. I know it was over a year. And some things I remember during that time, for one thing, there were not very many children in our children's department and our nursery. The rooms were empty. I remember walking down there, and where were the children? There were none. Where were the babies? There were none. And then there was some division in our church. And there was some, just some backbiting, discontent. Attendance was beginning to really slow down. There were some misunderstandings. There was some unforgiveness. There were some hard feelings. We were just really going through a big time of adjustment. It was a very hard time. I did not like how it felt. A lot of people were leaving our church. They were going to other churches. And I remember getting here on Sunday mornings, and I would be down in the hall, and someone would say, so-and-so's not coming back. They're going to this other church. And that just really broke my heart because I loved our church. I had been here for a long time, maybe 20 years, 25 years at that time. And I didn't really exactly know what to do. We didn't have a lot of people visiting our church because who wants to visit a church that's going through a rough time? Nobody. And I didn't know how to fix it. I mean, I couldn't fix it. But I remember just feeling kind of helpless because I was younger then. I was a woman. What can a woman do? A woman's not to stand up and be the leader in the church. The men are. During this season, I was asked to go speak at a church up in North Mississippi, and that was just a real God appointment for me. And so because it was so far up, I spent the night, and it was a church about our size, very similar church. And I was just so impressed with their church. They had this dynamic women's ministry, but I mean, they were in a small town like our small town, and yet their church had this dynamic women's ministry. I was like, wow. And they had a prayer ministry in their church. They had a prayer room. They had people in their prayer room every day praying for the needs and praying for their church. And so as I spent the night with this lady who had invited me, some of her friends from the women's ministry came over, and we were just having coffee and dessert and talking and sharing, and I just asked them, tell me the story about your church. How did y'all get such a dynamic women's ministry? How did you get such a dynamic prayer ministry? And so they told me the story, and the story they told me was the story of our church. Years before, they had gone through a very hard season in their church. And they, because their church was going through this awful season, they began to gather in small groups as women and pray. And that's how it all started. That's how the turnaround started, with women gathering to pray. Now, I'm sure there were men praying too. And so Their women's ministry was born out of that prayer movement. And God used that as part of what turned that church around and turned it into a dynamic church. And I was driving home the next day, and I was just praying to God. I was saying, oh, God, can you do that in our church? Would you do that in our church? God, would you raise up someone in our church who will do this in our church? Before long, our church was on a mission trip, and God spoke to some women who were on that mission trip. They were having such a dynamic encounter with God, and they got together and they said, we don't want this to stop. And when they got home, they just were determined to continue, and they started praying, and I joined with them, and we started praying. It's just kind of like God put us together. And then we said, you know what, we need to set up a prayer meeting. So we set up a day of a morning of the week at 6 o'clock, announced it in the bulletin, women's prayer time. Linda Evers opened her home at night. Remember that, Linda? And you had a prayer time at night for working women. And they started praying one night a week, and another group was praying. It may have been even two mornings a week. And we started to pray. And not long afterwards, that church in North Mississippi became our mentors, and we started our very own women's ministry in our church, and they helped us. We modeled our ministry after their ministry. And so out of that came our Tis the Season banquet, our Isle of India sale. We've done many, many things. We instituted in our church October as Pastor Appreciation Month. That's something their women's ministry did. And the Southern Baptist Convention sets October as Pastor Appreciation, but our church had never done that. And we thought, how important we need to take some time during the year, express our appreciation. So you're going to be getting a letter in the mail in the next day or two that tells you October is Pastor Appreciation Month. That's part of our women's ministry. We're kind of behind that. We did a mentoring program. We had Girlfriends Cafe. We set up many women's trips. Let's go hear good speakers. Let's get together. Let's grow. And now that COVID's over, we're going to do that some more. And God has really moved in our church. And then last Sunday, wasn't that a good Sunday? 150 years. Our church feels so alive to me. Are we perfect? No. We're not all the way there, but I feel the Spirit moving in our church. I feel really Holy Spirit unity in our church. I feel in this Sunday school class, there are women in this class, they want to grow. They want to pray. They want to study their Bibles. They're not satisfied for status quo. They want to see their worlds impacted for Christ. And here we are this morning, and I want to ask you, for the purpose of becoming more like Christ, will you discipline yourselves to pray? That's my question. Will you do it today? Will you plan tomorrow to pray? Will you plan the days after that to pray? Will you discipline yourself for the purpose of prayer? When are you seriously going to start taking your spiritual life seriously? Now, I want to close with Psalm 65:2. Well, I have two more scriptures that I'm going to close with. David says this statement to God in Psalm 2. Oh, you who hear prayer. Listen, God hears you when you pray. And God answers us when He prays, when we pray. And so since prayer is answered, I'm asking you, will you pray persistently in your life? Look at Matthew 7:7-8. This is Jesus, and Jesus is saying this to you and I this morning. This is a quote. These are red letters, and they're for us. Look at it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, how many? How many? Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Those words, ask, seek, and knock, in the original Greek language, are in the present continuous tense. And that means that this is telling us that we must pray persistently, continually, until the answers come. This is a fixed, eternal law of God's kingdom. Well, Teresa, I asked and I didn't receive. I didn't get what I asked for. Well, why? It could be because there's something amiss or wanting in your prayer life. It could be that you just need to continue anyway, persevere anyway. It could be that you need to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God teach you more how to pray rightly. But Jesus clearly says, everyone who asks receives. I want to challenge you to take the words of Jesus in all their simplicity this morning and believe them. And then leave this room and persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Because God answers prayer. I can tell you that this morning, as your Sunday school teacher, based on the Word of God, He answers prayer. Where there is prayerfulness, there will be godliness. Let's become women of prayer. Now, next week, I'm actually not going to be here. I'm going to be in Kentucky with Bill. And we have a treat next week. The Ukrainian couple that have been in our town are going to come, and they're going to share their testimony. The wife speaks English. The husband does not. But they're both going to share, and I think that he's probably going to interpret as... But I don't want you to miss that. I want this room to be filled. Please invite your friends. This is going to be a dynamic testimony of their story. They're going to be moving shortly. They're moving to Georgia. And so I really wanted us to hear them before they moved. And so when we called them, they graciously accepted. Our class has ministered to them. Our class has been so attentive. And they appreciate it so much. They are a lovely couple. And I really, really know you're going to enjoy hearing them next week. So don't miss. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of prayer, for the promise of prayer. God, it's just incredible. You hear us. You answer us. We can come freely to your throne of grace. It's just an incredible thing. Forgive us for not taking advantage of it. Because there are some needs around, many, many needs around us. Prayer should be one of our number one desires. And I'm asking you this morning to take these lessons, to draw us into deep fellowship with your word and with prayer. And we thank you, Father, for these lessons. I ask you, Father, to use them in our lives. Use them in our church. Impact us, Father, to grow us into Christ-likeness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then after that, we're going to look at worship next. That'll be our next lesson, worship. Thanks for being here.
I think I paid for even one of them.
Okay.
So are they
going to
10 or
like that? One side. Come here. I got five.